Hello and welcome to Destination Passport. I'm Damon Prada.
I'm Damon's friend Keith.
That's Damon's friend Keith, everybody. We're doing a special episode, and people are going to listen to this. A lot of people are going to listen to this. We have the greatest people listening to this, the best people listening to this.
Yeah.
The brightest. And we have a question from a viewer at home.
Yeah.
What is it?
Well, Lee has a few. So the first one is, they ask, what happens when work and personal lives mix? We've seen Thurman, but would you be as welcoming to Tom or Dr. White or Patty from the pet store?
Would I be welcoming to Patty from the pet store? Is that what I'm being asked right now?
To be a client, I guess.
Oh,
that you would
boy.
Definitely be welcome to that. Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's a couple different ways she could be a client of mine. I think in terms of our travel agency, mm-hmm. for sure. I'll send her and I on the trip of our dreams, baby. And then, you know, I mean, there's some other side hustles that I have that she could be a client of mine. It gets a little kinky, if you know what I mean.
Uh-huh.
I would enjoy that. My biggest question would be for you, would you be okay with her being a client because of the very real relationship that we have been working on?
You know, I think I would be okay with it.
You really do?
Yeah.
I just didn't know if it'd throw you off to have love in the air, so in the air. And if it was like a conflict of interest or anything like that?
Yeah, you know, I feel like we crossed that, you know, that ship sailed a little bit when you went on the vacation with Jeanette.
That's true. And there were real ramifications from that one. So that's why I was wondering if you would maybe have my back here.
You know, what just this made me think of is, remember when we almost went on that Dave Matthews Band sex cruise with...
A client? A client? Yeah.
With a client.
It was one of them. Yeah. It just made you think of that?
Well, what if... Doesn't that seem like if we had gone on that, one of us would have gotten... like Dave Matthews probably would have held us in a shed?
Damn. That's true. Yeah. I thought you were going to say, don't you think if we would have gone on that, one of us would have fucked Dave Matthews?
I mean, that's what happens on the Dave Matthews Band cruise.
Everyone gets naked and listens to Dave and has sex with Dave from time to time.
I'm trying to think of who the guest on that one was. Oh, Mag. And I couldn't pronounce that name.
That's right. Mag. Meg? Maggie?
Mag.
Margaret? Margaret?
Marg.
Mag.
Yeah, so, you know, I think I think the problem, the only problem there would be, like, does Patty know you exist? Would she, you know, be willing to... Would there actually be love in the air, I guess?
The Keith problem, as we call it.
Wait, why is that the Keith problem?
Well, last week, you're the one who pointed out to me, like, hey, I think if I was self-aware enough, I might point out, but other people would point out, this move to get back with Patty, it's very much like something that you would do. So I just, you know, I just thought that maybe, yeah, you were aware that it's kind of a key thing to do, to like not be in the know that somebody's like super not into you, but you're super into them because of the whole, like, you know, being married to my sister thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
I think I concur.
You know, as for Tom Nuchin, you know, I think I, you know, it's maybe going to be a little harder for you because I like Tom. I mean, everything else aside, we had a great time, you know, like,
true. When you say everything else aside, what all is being put aside here?
Him abducting you and holding you in a shed and threatening to kill you.
Cool. Okay. Just making sure.
He had such great snacks at the,
poker lodge? Game. Wasn't that the lodge that you were doing the poker game?
The Elks Lodge. Well, it was Elks Lodge buddies came over to his house.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, you had a good relationship with Tom.
Oh, yeah.
Really? All things considered, all things aside.
Everything else aside.
Everything else about him, who he is, what he does, what he did specifically to me. You guys had a great relationship.
Yeah. And was it? He had a killer something that he made.
Brownie, maybe?
Killer brownies, yeah. See, he also threatened me, you know, ultimately.
By offering you killer brownies?
Yeah. And he would do the big wink whenever he said killer.
Oh, that's true. And you still think, like, you had a great relationship with him because the snacks were that good.
The snacks and just the shooting of the shit, dog.
Yeah. Love shooting the shit.
He loved to shoot the shit. And he also loved to shoot the...
animals and
neighbors'
humans?
Dogs.
He also loved to shoot the living things.
And then Dr. White, I think, you know, I kind of don't want to be pulled back into his orbit. He's the guy that gave me extreme plastic surgery to look like Miles Teller.
That's right.
To try and get Jennifer back, because she said that the only way she would ever date or marry me again is if I looked exactly like Miles Teller.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of like, ugh. Like, I hate turning down a client. Like, let's say Dr. White came to us and was like, hey, I just want a vacation. I want you guys to book it because I know you're the best.
Yeah, and here's $20 million, by the way.
Here's $20 million.
Just laying it out on the table.
Yeah, and we're like, okay, that'll give you like a bronze level package, probably.
Sure, I mean, you know? We can get you there at least with that. Yeah.
We can get you there in one piece, maybe.
Maybe.
I hate turning down any client because I think everyone deserves a great vacation, even someone who, like, looking back, was he at all qualified to do the work that he was doing on me? No. Was he actually a former wax sculptor from Madame Tussauds? Yes.
Did you always know that? Yes.
Yeah, but looking back, I know it even more.
Yeah, when you reflect on things, you can like think about it even further and know it even more.
Yeah, and in retrospect, I knew that.
Yeah.
And I actively knew that, and I consciously knew that.
Right.
And I still entered into a contract to get radical plastic surgery from him.
One of your only options, if I'm not mistaken.
I mean, he was the only guy who would do it.
Right, that's what I mean. You reached out to a lot of people.
There were a lot of actual plastic surgeons who were like, there's no way we can make this work. Mm-mm. You're beyond saving.
And you were going, well, there's already a guy who's telling me it's kind of possible Doc.
Yeah, I tried to kind of play hardball. Yeah. But like, hey, Dr. White. Like,
I already have one offer. And they go, wait, which Dr. White?
Big quotes, Dr. White?
You mean Dr. White?
From Madame Tussauds.
Yeah, he's that famous.
He is that famous. So I kind of got him off of me when you, if you recall your Barrel-esque show where President Joe Brandon accidentally shot himself in the face, Dr. White took on that huge high-profile client and kind of forgot about me, which is great because he was working me to the bone. Because his method,
literally,
for anyone who doesn't remember, his method is if I'm going to look like Miles Teller, I have to be exactly like Miles Teller, specifically in Whiplash. And so he was going J.K. Simmons on my ass.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just too much work.
Yeah.
I was like, it's jazz drumming. Why? Like, who cares?
Right. At the end of the day, what is this going to do?
Huh? Yeah.
What is this going to do? Because a lot of people watch that movie and they go, good movie. Mm-hmm. But I watch that movie and I go, yeah, but like, that's all for what?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? This guy's working to the freaking bone to be able to bang some sticks against some skin.
Yeah.
Okay. are there still kids starving in Antarctica?
And by the way, Dr. White banged some sticks against my skin. That's kind of how he does his work. He's really, I guess that's what they do at Madame Tussauds. They're really like using these sticks and just kind of banging away at the faces.
Yeah, they really chop it into shape. Yeah. They don't really mold it by hand. Yeah. It's more of like a slap with sticks.
It's more of a slap with sticks, yeah, for sure. So
it's more of one of those classic slap with sticks scenarios. You know what I mean? You know, you come across those and you're like, okay, slaps with sticks, I get it. I see this all the time. Yeah, but it works.
Well, that's where the term slapstick comes from, because there's a classic Three Stooges short where they accidentally get hired at Madame Tussauds.
Yeah.
And they're supposed to be like making a realistic Clark Gable wax figurine.
Yep.
And they go whoop 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 and all that kind of stuff.
Beep, 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 whoop.
They poke each other in the eyes, boink, all that kind of stuff. But yeah, that's where the term comes from.
And somebody was watching that and goes, wait, they were slapping sticks, but that was funny. And it was a certain type of humor and a certain type of comedy that I will now dub slapstick.
Yeah.
There was an official announcement by president. Who was president back then?
Let's see. That must have been Herbert Hoover.
It was Herbert Hoove. I remember that now. Yeah. Hoove came on the airwaves and made the big announcement. And everyone was like, slapstick, slapstick. It's the new thing. Have you heard?
You know, historians really revile Hoover's presidency. You know, he was an unqualified businessman who really helped plunge the country into a Great Depression, so to speak. But not enough credit is given to him for announcing...
Yeah,
slapstick as how to describe Three Stooges type of humor,
especially when they're at Madame Tussauds slapping sticks against clay.
Yeah, I mean, a lot
of people throw around terms like that, like, "Oh yeah, you launched us into a depression. We're depressed now." Yeah. I mean, you know what I think? I think of deep rest. Mm. I mean, I think it's a good thing, right? It's not a depression; it's a deep rest, son.
I think, I think of the Great Depression as a great deep rest. Son.
It was a time for us to all kind of sit back, reflect, relax, rest. Not go out and spend any money because you physically like really couldn't because like, you know, I mean, shit was
we didn't have
bad.
Two nickels to rub together. And when we say we mean like the royal we as Americans. We are not ageless, timeless beings.
No, no.
From another dimension.
Yeah, the economy got so bad that they went down to one nickel across the entire America.
Everyone had to share one nickel.
Yeah.
And the nickel went around on trains and and cars.
Honey,
and
the nickel's coming into town this weekend.
We all get to pass it around.
Do you want to go to the movies with it? What do you want to do with our nickel? They each get they get to use the nickel on one item.
Yeah.
And then it goes off to another town. And,
and then they would have to return the item, of course. Because...
Well, yeah, because they no longer hold the item that... Well, yeah, the person they paid it to no longer has the
because they have
tender.
To keep passing the nickel along. And so, you know, so you'd have to unsee the Three
it's like
Stooges.
It's like a reverse line, right? It's like a bartering system up, but then they have to reverse it all back.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
I think so.
I think it does.
Anyway, that's... little American history lesson for all of you out there. Lee has a couple other questions.
What you got?
Is there a Hippocratic Oath for travel agents?
Now, remind me what Hippocratic Oath is again.
So for doctors, it's basically you got to do it. And we know this because I was an emergency room doctor and you were an emergency room nurse.
Yes.
We both have to take the Hippocratic Oath.
I always took it. Just like I take my flu shots, I always took it.
You had to take it again every year because it would wear off over...
Exactly. And there's new variants each
year. There's new variants of the oath.
Of the oath. So I would take it, but I wouldn't really look because I get scared of oaths.
Oh yeah, I'm pretty oath phobic too.
Yeah.
You know, whenever I was a kid, having to take the Hippocratic Oath, whenever I'd play doctor with my siblings, I would always have to hold my mommy's hand.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, I took the oath.
One time while I was taking the oath, I actually passed out. Whoa. So ever since then, I'm like, I won't even look.
Yeah.
When the doctor's giving me their Hippocratic Oath. I'm not even going to look at it.
Yeah, doctor. There are doctors who specifically administer Hippocratic Oaths to other doctors
and to nurses. Make sure that they understand it and have it in them.
Yeah.
So I just need reminded because I just took it. I didn't look. I didn't really listen. But it's where we, if I had to guess, it's where we basically say, we're not going to be hypocrites here. Okay, I get it. You're sick. I get sick sometimes too. I'm not going to tell anybody about your specific stuff. Is that a Hippocratic Oath?
It's that's somewhere in there for sure. I think it's definitely
somewhere in there. Yeah.
It's also like you can't like hurt people with your scalpel and your little reflex hammer.
I feel like we both did that all the time.
Oh yeah, I used to. Whenever there's a patient that I didn't like, I would just like knock them over the head with a reflex hammer.
Yeah.
They'd go doi.
And you go, that's very slapstick of you.
Yeah.
Thanks, Hoover.
They'd have a big lump grow out of their head like a cartoon.
Yeah, like the cat in Jerry.
The cat in Jerry.
Tom and Jerry.
Remember those?
Wait, which one was the cat?
Wait,
Tom or Jerry?
Who was the cat in those Jerry cartoons?
You know those Jerry cartoons?
Tom, yeah.
It was Tom, and he's in Jerry, the cartoon Jerry.
Yeah, the cartoon was called Jerry.
And Tom is in it.
Yeah.
And that's why it's called Tom and Jerry. Tom and Jerry.
Well, Eisenhower had to announce that you had to call it Tom and Jerry to be
which
fair to the cat.
We appreciate.
Thank you for your service, Dwight D. Eisenhower.
Dwighty.
So to answer
the question,
if there's a Hippocratic Oath for travel agents, yes.
The answer is yes. So next question. what would that be? Yeah, I think we should recite it because this one I take very seriously.
Yes.
The other ones I would look away. But this one's different. This one's special.
This one's special. We take it way more seriously than we ever took the Hippocratic Oath, which we don't even remember any of it at this point.
Okay. You ready?
Yeah.
I promise to always know where
my client
wants to go. Man, and it's important. It's important that we always remember that. And that, they'll come in and bust you. They'll test you. They'll quiz you.
Yeah.
They'll say, do you remember where your client wants to go?
Yeah. And that's only the first part of it.
I know. That's the opening. That's the title. That's the title page. This is a 13-page document. Yeah. We're not going to read it all.
Yeah, let's skip ahead to page four.
Okay, page four. What, do you want to start halfway down?
Yeah, let's halfway down. Okay. Yeah.
Third paragraph?
Yeah.
Okay. When armed with warm
guns.
when armed with warm guns, never shoot the client.
And that we have never done that.
No, anytime that we have, they've been cold, frigid, cold guns.
Cold, very chilly guns that we use.
Yeah, we don't microwave our guns before we shoot them. I know a lot of people do that.
Yeah. Well, you know, when it's late at night and someone needs to be shot.
Yeah, and you're ready for bed and. You don't want to go through the whole process of warming up the gun.
Yeah.
Just throw it in the microwave.
Just throw
real quick.
In the microwave. It does the trick.
Just gets it ready. Nice and warmed up.
Yeah. And let's just do one more part. Let's get to the very end, the very last page.
So this is the last sentence.
This is the last sentence of the Hippocratic Oath for Travel Agents, which is what it's called.
Yep.
When
in Rome, never tell your
wife.
When in Rome, never tell your wife, or you may be shot.
When in Rome,
never tell your wife, or you may be shot.
Because your wife might have that microwaved gun for you.
Yeah, and the other thing is, there's a lot of context, about 12 pages of context you guys miss. That would make that make even more sense. But I think you get it.
You get it. And we don't want to give away the whole thing, because then anyone could just go ahead and become a travel agent.
No, exactly. And you have to be a licensed travel agent to be able to get this handbook right here that we have in front of us.
Yeah. And that sound that you were hearing was you hitting the book.
Yep. This book is so thick and wood-like. It's a wooden book. It's a wooden cover.
It's a wooden cover and the pages are all wood.
So I guess it's a wooden book. Yeah. I guess all books are wooden, huh? Because they're made out of wood, made out of trees.
Made out of wooden tree.
Huh.
Wood. It's just pulpy wood.
I wonder what a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck
books.
Okay. You think if you laid a bunch of books in front of a woodchuck, they'd go ham or no?
Let's see. Yes.
I agree.
Okay, so the last question from Lee is, do you think we'll ever hear from Andrea Corpse Checker again?
Fuck no.
Yeah, I don't know. I think last I saw, Andrea Corpse Checker was on trial for murder.
I saw that too.
Yeah.
It was on CNN, right?
Yeah, on the Corpse Checking News Network.
Corpse Checking News Network. It was the top story for weeks. It was like the big trial they were showing every day. It's like every day you tune in, you know, even when you go into work. Mm-hmm. You know, everyone's like, did you see the big updates on CNN?
Or you're at the airport and they have to have,
of course they have it on.
Check your news network on.
And
there.
Everyone's talking about it as if they really give a shit. And it's not that you give a shit, it's just that you know everyone else is giving a shit, so you feel like you should give a shit. Mm,
totally, yeah.
That's how it is. That's how society is, man.
Yeah, Wolf Corpse Checker. Instead of Wolf Blitzer, is on there.
Wolf Corpse Checker is up there, and he's
Anderson
going.
Anderson Corpse Checker. A lot of CNN cable news network, their last names are like Cooper, Blitzer. Donner.
Dancer.
Dixon.
Prancer.
Fixins.
Rudolph.
Yeah, I don't think we'll hear from Andrea, at least for a long time, because when I told her that I couldn't murder her boss for her, she kind of went and did the damn thing herself. And
she did go do the damn thing herself.
And unfortunately, you know, she got caught.
Yeah.
And she tried to pass it off. It was like, no, he was already dead, obviously. Well, I would never be around a recently.
Which is a good alibi for a corpse checker.
Yeah.
I mean, sure.
I was just checking
it.
This corpse. And they're like, isn't that your boss's corpse? And she was like, right. Yeah. And
didn't it just become a corpse nearly 30 seconds ago? And haven't you been in here over 30 seconds?
Yeah. Didn't I just see your boss, who wasn't a corpse at the time, walk into this room that you're in with him now being a corpse?
And didn't Andrea Corpse Checker just say, well, yeah, but I was just kind of looking up and whistling and listening to music. And then I looked over and he was a corpse. And so now I'm going to check on the corpse.
Check the corpse. And they're like, you checking the corpse with a bloody knife?
Okay, and then she said, we're essentially role-playing. Role-play? Sure. Okay, at this point. Okay, I mean, don't tell me how to do my job, and now I'm waving the knife in your face, obviously.
Yeah.
How else do you think I cut the bodies open to look into them, sir?
And then getting blood splattered all over, and it's like, well, usually they're not so freshly dead that there's still blood spurting out, mm-hmm. and actually, isn't he coughing up blood right now?
Isn't he pleading for his last words right now? And then stab.
Stab.
Rip, rip, rip.
So it was a double homicide.
Double homicide. Double corpse checking.
And then a third person came in and she was like, I'm just checking these two corpses. And the third person was like, weren't those two people just very recently not corpses? Yep. Blah, blah, blah.
Guess what happened? Shing, shing,
triple
shing.
Homicide.
Dead, dead, dead. Fourth person comes in. Guess what happens? They go, wait a minute. You are a corpse checker and you're checking on these three corpses? That checks out. Still stabbed him.
Still stabbed him.
Still didn't trust
still
it.
Still stabbed him, yeah.
Shing, 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 shing. Shawshank Redemption.
Which is what she's going to need. She's going to need to burrow out of whatever high security prison she's in, mostly just for corpse checkers.
Yep. It's an all corpse checker prison.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it turns out a lot of these corpse checkers make the corpses themselves.
Yeah, exactly. Not enough people know that. So if you know a corpse checker, watch out.
Yeah.
Because you might become a corpse soon.
You might become a corpse soon. So that's all.
That's all, folks. Thanks for not listening to this ever.
That's all, folks.
Goodbye.
Bye.